So, of course, we've been asked to come and tell you about the ministry we have in Golden Prairie, Saskatchewan. But before we get to Golden Prairie, I think we should tell you a little bit more about the organization we work with. It's called Village Missions. Village Missions started in 1948 in the United States and 1968 in Canada. So it's been around a fair bit of time. The goal of Village Missions is helping country churches thrive, which you see right... Nope, it didn't switch. I should look down here. Could you advance it one, please? There we go. That's their motto, helping country churches thrive. We're not a church planting organization. Instead, we work with established churches who either can't find a pastor to serve them or can't afford a full-time pastor, because Village Missions is organized so that the pastors work full-time in ministry. They're not vocational or anything like that, no matter how small the place is.
It's very much a mission organization. We are called Village Missionaries because our role isn't just to help care for a church, it's to be a missionary to the community. We call our areas fields because every area is a mission field, including Westlock and area. Ideally, we'd be spending about 50% of our time with the church people and about 50% in the community. And we help work with the congregation to help reach the community for Christ. The job description is to preach the word and love the people, both the people in the congregation and those in the community who haven't come to church yet. In Canada, there's 32 Village Missions churches right now, but only 28 pastors. So the bottleneck in our system at the moment is we just don't have enough pastors. So if anybody's feeling God calling you a pastoral ministry, it doesn't matter your age, consider Village Missions. In the last few years, though, we've had a lot of young, new, enthusiastic missionaries join the mission, which is great to see. We just need a few more. And despite the need being so great, Village Missions has learned over the years that it really needs to screen its pastoral applicants and families really well, because we have to fit into the rural communities that we're sent, and you people would understand that more than people in bigger cities. And we need to be willing to stay there long term, because the length of the tenure is really important as far as the community people coming to trust the pastor and coming to know Christ.
So as a mission, we don't look for churches to join us. They come to us. They come to the mission looking for help getting a pastor, and there's always inquiries. Then there's the process where to decide if they fit Village Missions before being accepted. The structure of the church isn't all that important. The most important thing is that they are doctrinally aligned with Village Mission's statement of faith, which is, of course, typical for most conservative evangelical churches. Another criteria is that there isn't another conservative evangelical church within a reasonable distance around that church. They also need to have a solid core of people who are left to support the work of the church. So if everything works out and the church will then sign a contract with Village Missions who supplies a pastor. The church supplies as much of a base salary as they can, and they supply the housing and utilities as well for the pastoral family. Now, if the church can't meet the base salary of the pastor, the mission actually tops it up. And their aim of the mission is to have at least 2/3 of the churches being able to support themselves and 1/3 that maybe can't, because that's kind of sustainable that way. On top of the minimum, they ask us as Village Missionaries, so me and Denise, we raise support on top of that to have basically a living wage. They also ask the churches to tithe from all the offerings that come in. So 10%, whether it's a little bit or a lot, goes to Village Missions, and that helps run everything and support the other churches. A couple churches you might know that are Village Missionary churches around here is actually Rich Valley Community Church, 45 minutes southwest of here, I believe, as well as Boyle Gospel Chapel.
So how did we end up with Village Missions? Well, I didn't marry a pastor. I married a cowboy who had no inkling that God was going to call him to a few decades later. We met at Pioneer Ranch Camp in Rocky Mountain House, where Rod was taking care of the horse herd, and I'd been involved in camp for a lot of years. So ministry was part of our lives from the beginning of our marriage. But eventually we moved on to different ranch jobs until we started our own business building saddle trees, the inside frame of a Western saddle. God definitely put us into our business, and 20 years later, he definitely took us out, confirming that call with pretty severe arthritis in Rod's hand so he couldn't keep building trees. So in 2016, we shut down the tree shop, we sold everything, and we moved on. But where were we supposed to go?
Well, the first stop was Bible school. In my 50s, I went to Miller College of the Bible with all the 18-year-olds. That's the little arrow pointing to me, the bald-headed guy in front of all those 18-year-olds. I knew I was supposed to go into ministry, but I wasn't sure quite what. And a pastor friend of mine encouraged me that while I was at Bible school, in between the years, I should look for a small church that needed an interim pastor during the summer months between the classes. So that's what we did. And after that first summer, I really felt that that actually was what God was calling me to do, was to pastor a small church. We knew about Village Missions, and the idea of working in a small rural church really fit us much, much more than a larger urban center of that kind. So we talked with Village Missions over the years and started the application process in our third year of school. And, we'll get you advanced there, I graduated in 2019. So we joined Village Missions and were appointed to Golden Prairie starting in July of that year.
Golden Prairie is a village in the southwest corner of Saskatchewan, about half an hour north of Maple Creek and the Trans-Canada Highway, and only about 20 miles from the Alberta border. First Baptist Church of Golden Prairie started in 1945, almost 80 years ago, as an outreach to the community. The town was booming there then. There was 400 to 500 people in town and every business you could actually imagine, and four grain elevators. And the German-speaking Baptist church that was 10 miles out of town saw the need to have a church in Golden Prairie to reach the people there. So they built our church and started with some services in English as well as some in German. And the German was soon dropped, and the church became an English-speaking church, reaching out to the people who lived in Golden Prairie and area. So we have a great legacy. The church joined Village Missions. We changed their name to Golden Prairie Community Church about 6 years ago, because they hadn't been able to find a pastor for 4 to 5 years, anyone to go to Golden Prairie. Why not? Well, here's a picture of Golden Prairie. That's all of it. Golden Prairie isn't exactly your prime real estate location. In fact, that's why many of the people in Golden Prairie live there. It's cheap to buy and cheap to live in Golden Prairie. But honestly, we're growing. In 2015, the census had 30 people in town. We're now at about 40. There's not a lot to work for work in town. There's 3 part-time jobs, 3 full-time positions, and one of those is the pastor. Yep. Golden Prairie is the only town in our rural municipality. We have RMs in Saskatchewan, not MDs.
Or counties.
And our RM is quite small, only about 20 square miles. As of 2021, it had 148 people living there, plus the people in Golden Prairie. That's about half the population it was 40 years, and a whole lot less than it was when it was booming in the 30s and 40s and 50s. So as everywhere, we're in an area that's becoming more and more depopulated as the farms and the ranches get bigger.
So with so few people in the immediate area, why bother supporting a full-time pastor in a place like that? Really because we are needed there. If Golden Prairie Community Church closed, where would the people go? We'll go on another map here. So there's Golden Prairie, and if it closed, again, where would people go? I'll just add a couple arrows there. If you want to, next slide. Those are the closest communities. All of them are over at least an hour away that have conservative evangelical churches. They're all over an hour away. The next slide shows you the two of the closer communities that do have churches, but not conservative evangelical type ones. They're about a half hour drive. So there's a large area there with no other church to preach the gospel. But really, it isn't the Christians that we worry about that most if the church closed. Because like you, people will drive a long distance if they have to go to church if you're a follower of Christ. It's the people who don't come to church, the people who don't know Jesus, that it would hurt the most. Where would they go when they have questions, when things get hard in their lives, when they need help? They're not going to drive a long way to find a church or to find a pastor, but they just might talk to Rod and Denise. Our church started as an outreach to the community, and that is what it still needs to be, because that's what Jesus calls all of us as Christians to do. And that is why we still need to be there, because most of the people don't know Christ yet.
Here's a picture of what our church looked like when we started in 2019, 5 years ago. Outside and inside. We've been there 5 years, and I would love to tell you of how many people who've come to know Christ and our building is packed out every Sunday, but I can't, because that hasn't happened yet. We still average less than 20 people on a Sunday, but we've been hitting that 20 mark more often, which is good. So what has happened in those 5 years that we've been there? Well, there's been ups and downs, like any church. Some of the downs we've had have been people moving away. They move away to be closer to family or friends or medical facilities when they get older. And when three couples leave a small church like ours, it's really noticeable. Our chairman, who is a wonderful, godly man, well-loved, well-respected in the community, just passed away in June after a 13-year battle with cancer. The gospel was very clearly proclaimed to about 230 people at his funeral. The church was packed, and so was the community hall. And believe me, the technology to get that done was interesting. That was his wish. That was his plan. But he does leave a huge hole in our church family and in the leadership of our church. And so we're going to see how God is going to work and build our church now without him there. But as far as the ups go, we've had other people come and join us. We'll tell you a little bit more about some later. And our numbers have remained steady. And the other thing is we've been seeing is people growing in their faith. And that's really been exciting.
So without a pastor, before we got there, the church was, they had gone for about 5 years without a pastor. It was basically running Sunday morning services, of course. They had a traditional Good Friday breakfast they did every Good Friday. They still did that. And they had a Sunday where they would recognize the area graduates from grade 12. Over the years, as we've got there now, we've restarted. We'll get the next slide, please. Women's ministry. They have quarterly outreach events and regular ladies' Bible studies with both church women and community women attend that. We now have also a monthly men's breakfast. And although we don't have many school-age kids in our congregation, next slide, please. We have held events for the community kids at times. And this year we had actually 10 kids out in May, which was, I think, the most we've had. And we had an evangelism training day, next slide if you don't mind, in February this year with 13 attending. Now, out of this group, that wouldn't sound like much, but believe me, everybody who could come did come, and that was great. At the end of June this year, we had a first baptism in membership class, with 7 people attending that. And again, that's a pretty high percentage for our congregation. And we've continued with the Good Friday breakfast in the community hall. This year we had about 120 people out for that. And, next slide, our grad Sunday. Again, all 4 of those kids graduated high school. None of them and their families come to church. But they wanted to come for a special service and to get a Bible with their name on it. Next slide. But we want to close with just a couple stories of why it's so important to have a church, even in a tiny town, in an area that has lost so much of its population in the last years.
One person I want to talk to you about is a lady who moved into town in 2020. She asked me about church fairly often, but she never showed up. And as I got to know her, we walked with her dogs and I talked with her, I found out that she was indeed a Christian, and she's had a pretty hard life. It took her a year before she walked into the church building. But once she came, she started coming regularly. She got involved. She's become an official member. She attends our Bible studies faithfully, sometimes 2 a week. She helps lead the women's ministry. In fact, she's the reason that we're having a summer ladies' Bible study this year. We stopped a bit early, and after a few weeks, she said, "I miss Bible study." And I said, "So do I. Do you want to do one?" "Okay." We asked other ladies. We've got 6 ladies doing Bible study this summer. A little while over this last year, at one point, she commented to me, "I never knew that being a Christian was more than accepting Jesus and going to church sometimes, but there's so much more." And I was a little bit confused, and I said, "Well, when did you find this out?" "Since I moved here." I said, "How did you find this out?" And she looked at me like I was a little bit crazy and said, "Well, I went to the church." Our district representative has asked a question that helps me keep perspective when I get discouraged. Where would she be spiritually if Golden Prairie Community Church wasn't there?
The second story is about a young couple that recently became Christians through the faithful witness of some friends of theirs who don't go to our church. They live further west of us. So this couple started going to this friend's church, driving right past the turn off to Golden Prairie and the sign saying Golden Prairie Community Church, driving an hour and a half to get to the church they were going to. Well, then that church moved further away, about another half hour, and they were like, we don't want to go 2 hours each direction to go to church if we can. So they remembered getting a calendar that we put on their doorknob 4 years before with a note saying that we had prayed for them, something that we did when we first got there. And they remembered, of course, the signs on the highway and that I think there's a church there. So they got their friends to check us out on the internet, listen to some sermons, that type of thing, to see if we were solid or not. And they've been now coming faithfully for the last 8 years. And they were one of the couples, who attended the baptism class. They actually are the ones who asked for it. So if Golden Prairie Church, again, if they hadn't been there, where would these people go? What would happen to their spiritual walk and their growth? Next slide, please.
So here's the church now. The inside and the outside.
Next slide. Thank you.
There have been some small changes, but nothing earth-shaking yet. I hope you now understand why we're in Golden Prairie, why we work with Village Missions. The need is great, even in small places. And the biggest need we have is prayer. Prayer for us, for wisdom to know what to do. Prayer for the church and the congregation. Prayer for the community, that they come to know Christ. Like Scott mentioned, if you're interested in receiving our monthly prayer emails, we've got a table at the back. Sign up there. Just give us your email address, and I'll put you on the list there. We also have a monthly prayer calendar. If you choose to pray for us, pick a day once a month, sign up on that day, and then mark it on your calendar, and at least once a month you'll be praying for us, and we need all the prayer we can get. And there's also more information out there about Village Missions itself and what to do if you feel like God is leading you to support either the mission or us financially. Thank you so much for listening, being interested in such a small little place. And we'll be at the back table, hopefully, after service if you want to chat with us.
Okay. I've also been asked to bring God's word, so I'm going to do that at this time, and I'd just like to pray before I speak. Father, thank you that we can be here in Westlock. Thank you that we can come from a little place like Golden Prairie and meet other people who love you, who love each other, who love their community, and want to glorify you in their lives. And I pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you will help us again to realize what part we each play in that big picture of what you are doing in this world and what you are doing right here in Westlock and this area. So we give this time to you. Help me speak your word well. And I just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I guess I'll have to get you to... There we go. Now, this whole Village Missions thing was not something that I had ever thought about, looked for, or thought that I could do. You want to get the next slide, please? In fact, I don't feel at all adequate to preach the word and love the people, which is what, again, one of the mottos of Village Missions is. But that's actually good, because in my physical human strength, I can't do it. In fact, there's no matter how much ability any one of us have, we are all inadequate to accomplish what God wants us to do as we live for and serve God. In our humanity, we are completely inadequate. But if you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us all we need if we will depend on Him to live for God and serve Him in the way that He wants us to. Next slide, please. I'm going to look at a little bit in the book of 1 Corinthians. And the book of 1 Corinthians was written to address a church that was absolutely filled with problems, not like yours, like every church, of course. But a big part of why Paul writes to the people in Corinth was the unnecessary divisions that were among them. They thought that various people, and especially leaders, were more important than other leaders. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, I'll get you a change here, says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So then he goes on to describe what kind of division he's talking about in verse 12. He says, some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. That's the spiritual guys. Basically, it's a divisive human perspective on people's importance. Obviously not Christ, but they're putting one leader as more important than another, and thus themselves. If I follow the better leader, well, I'm better than the next person, aren't I? Paul wants people to put away completely that whole idea. After dealing with some other issues, Paul picks up the topic again in chapter 3, which is where we'll pick up in verse 5, where he basically says, look, don't follow human leaders. That's not what's important. The leaders that we have, as well as ourselves, we are all God's workers. We'll go to verse 5. After all, he says in chapter 3, verse 5, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. Next verse. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seeds grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. So God is the real worker, is his main point there. The one with the power to actually make things grow to the point of harvest. But God's tools are weak humans who are his servants. So I'd like to go to verse 5 here. Again, it says, after all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. The word there, servant, is the Greek word diakonos, which simply means a server. It's the word we get deacon from. A server, someone who helps. In those days, it was a low status position, basically. And what he's meaning there, as a being a servant, as a that kind of person, it means that each person serves the Lord, doing the work that the Lord gives us to do. The Lord is the owner, the Lord is the master, and we do, every one of us, what we are assigned to do. We all do different things based on who God made us to be and the gifts that he has given us as well. In this case, Paul and Apollos said that they were the ones who had the privilege to bring the good news to the people in Corinth. And through the hearing of that good news, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The people heard the good news in Corinth, the good news that God knew the wrong things that they had done and that they had deserved punishment for their sin. And you might say, well, that's not good news. That's bad news. Well, you got to hear the bad news first, because the good news is that in his love, he sent Jesus to die on the cross, bearing our punishment on himself and then rising from the dead in victory over death. And if the Corinthians, if us, if any of us would turn from our sin, believe in Jesus and put our trust in him and surrender our lives to follow him, God would forgive us our sins and make us his people. And Paul and Apollos gave the people in Corinth that message, and many believed it. Many acted on it. And so they were grateful to those who had brought the message, but they went too far by dividing themselves according to who they had listened to, making that person more important than someone else. So Paul says that he and Apollos were just simply being servants. They were doing the work that the Lord had gave them. He was saying, don't elevate me, Paul himself, or Apollos, as being more than anything than servants. So as Denise and I come to you as well from Golden Prairie, and we try to tell you of what God has done there, we want you to know the same thing, that we are only servants, we're only doing the work the Lord gave us to do. Just exactly the same way that you are the one here doing the work that God has given you to do here in Westlock. You who pray for and share Jesus with your family, with your friends here in Westlock, you're doing what God has given you to do. I also want you to encourage you to really grasp the fact that all of us are in the same boat. No matter what God has called us to do, as we seek to follow Jesus. We all do what we can to further God's kingdom, each in our own situations that God has put us in. We are all merely servants, obediently doing what God tells us as he works to bring the results, as he brings the growth. In verse 6, Paul further describes himself and Apollos as serving as farmers. And in verse 6 there, he says, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. A lot of you are farmers. You know somebody's got to put the seed in the ground, or it won't do anything. Somebody has to bring also the word of God, the truth of Jesus, to those people who haven't heard it. But Jesus commands, of course, all his followers to do that, every one of us. It's not just a job for the pastor, for the elder, for the missionary. It's every believer's responsibility. We all need to plant seed. One of the things that happens to churches over time is they become what you call inward looking, which means that we look at the church and what it does for itself, trying to keep things running. We drift away from looking outward at our community and at how to do practical things to help people around us and to build real friendships with those who don't know Jesus so that we can introduce Jesus to them. One of the things every church needs to work hard at is how to look outward to the community around us, to people who don't know Jesus yet, and loving them enough to pray for them and tell them about Jesus. We need to all be planting the seed. And of course, the other thing is watering. Now in Golden Prairie, this temperature we're having out here, this is our normal summer. It is a dry place. It's practically desert. And if you have a garden, you know you have to water that garden or your plants are done. And it's the same for you here. Well, spiritually as well, we also need to be teaching, caring for believers. And that's something every one of us can do for each other. We can help each other, support each other, pray for each other. Every one of us are in different stages of growth. But notice where the growth actually comes from in that verse. It was God who made it grow. The life that's in a seed, when you put a seed in the ground, whether it's in your garden or in the field, how that actually becomes something living is still a mystery. We don't know really how it sprouts and starts growing, because God is the giver of life, and he is especially the giver of life spiritually. Nothing happens unless God gives life. Our effectiveness is not due to our abilities, but to God doing his work. Next verse there, verse 7. Says it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. So it's not who the person is that's important. We all need to be faithful to plant and to water because it's God who brings any kind of results. That puts us, every one of us, on the same level. No one is more important than anyone else. But we do all have to do spiritual work. I want to bump a little further into Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul goes on to explain a little bit more about how God gifts his people in different ways to be an important part of what God is doing to bring the gospel to the world and in caring for his people. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the human body has many parts, and the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So you're having an analogy here of you. We all have human bodies. We know we all have parts. We have hands. We have feet. We have legs. We have organs, whatever. But it's all one. But he's also saying there's individual parts that are, every one of those parts is important. And so it is with the body of Christ. Christ is one whole made up of all the parts, which is us. All who belong to Jesus are part of his body. Verse 13. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body, the body of Jesus, by one Spirit. And we all share the same Spirit. Verse 14. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And so he's trying to emphasize the oneness, but also the uniqueness. Each of us are physically unique. We all look differently. Our DNA, if you were to look on that level, separates us from everybody else. And in the same way, we are all part of one body, also when God saves us, but we are also spiritually unique. I want to jump to Romans 12 because he's talking very similar to the same kind of topic. Romans 12:4 says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So as servants of God, all of us and our duties are important and are needed. God builds his kingdom through all his people. Every single one of us are important. All are needed, so no one can replace someone else, as we all have different gifts. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 3:8. He says, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. We both will be rewarded for their own hard work. So Paul is stressing, though, we need to work together, not divide into factions for any kind of reason. We have to remember that no matter what we do, God is the one who brings that increase. But despite the fact that ultimately it's all God's work, why he does it, he says he rewards us. God sees our hearts. He knows how and why we serve, and he's going to reward us accordingly. Now, we have to be very clear, though, that our serving of God and our reward comes after our penalty for sin is removed by us putting our faith in Christ. We can't earn God's favor. We can't earn his forgiveness by the things we do. But God does expect us to use the gifts that he has given us to serve him once we have given our lives to follow him. And then in his grace, he promises that as we faithfully serve him, follow him, he will somehow reward us for our service to him as we use the gifts that he gave us. Does that make any sense? He is a very gracious God. We deserve absolutely nothing, but in his grace, he saves us, he rewards us. Our responsibility is to be faithful witnesses and caretakers of what God has entrusted us to do. There are people that you can reach that are not available to someone else, that I can't reach. You have a different relationship with other people than anybody else, and you may be able to connect with other people in a way no one else can. You have your field, your mission field right here in Westlock. Be involved in your community and with your neighbors. Get to know them so that they trust you and will listen to you when you earn the right to share about your Savior Jesus with them. This is something Village Missions has taught us. When I lived in Bellevue, we were very, very involved in the church. But we were actually not all that involved in our community with our neighbors, and we really regret that now because we could have done much more than we did that way. And because that's part of our job description as village missionaries, we're discovering, of course, the joy of getting to know and help people, not just in the church, but outside the church as well. Then we can plant the seeds that God can make grow. So do your part, because no one else can. There's a harvest in your field, and you are the laborers. Matthew 9:36, Jesus said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If you notice what Jesus, he's not saying to pray that people will be ready for harvest. He's saying the prayer is for people to go and do the harvest. The harvest is there. It's ready. God gets the people to the harvest stage, and then he works through us to bring them, to bring others into his kingdom. You see, every one of us who is a believer, a follower of Jesus, are God's workers. Back to 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Now, when it says God's there, those are possessive pronouns. That's a technical grammatical way to say that when the word of God is written there, it shows that the next word is what God possesses, it's what belongs to him. We all belong to him as his workers, his field, his building. We belong to him. And this is why Paul said that we are God's servants. We belong to Him. God alone is who we all serve and must be faithful to. His glory is our highest aim. Next slide, please. It's been 8 years since we moved away from Valley View, and 5 years this month since we started as Village Missions at Golden Prairie. It still feels really quite weird in a way to come up here and speak to you guys, telling about all that's been happening in our tiny section of God's kingdom. Because for most of our lives, we sat in the pews and we listened to those other full-time workers telling what they were doing for God. And we were the ones who prayed, we were the ones who supported them. Now we're the ones being prayed for and supported in our work, and we have to learn to accept that support that we get, and when we're the ones who are used to be giving it. But we've also learned, being on that side of the equation, that Paul was right. We are not super Christians. I hope you believe that we are not. There's no way. It really doesn't matter if it's us or if it's someone else that God calls to preach in Golden Prairie, to preach the word and love the people. I mean, practically, when you don't get started until your 50s, like we did, I'm not going to have a 30-year ministry in Golden Prairie. Give it another 10, 15 years, hopefully, and someone else will take over that work there. But it doesn't matter who's there. All that matters is that God is making it grow as we serve Him there. And the same is true for you. So what is God calling you to do in your life as you serve Him? Who has He been placing on your heart to pray for, to talk to? Are there areas in the community or the church that He's asking you to step up and serve? Are you willing to build relationships with people who don't know Jesus yet, so that you can tell them about Jesus? And you as a congregation, are you caring for each other, praying for each other, building each other up? Are you all planting and watering? And are you excited to see the growth and the increase that God will bring as you do that? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you again, the opportunity to be here. Father, I just pray that your word, that your Holy Spirit will just apply that to every single one of us as we need to hear and understand what you want us to do and respond. So help us to be obedient, to hear your word, to believe it, to follow it, to do it. So help us do that, every one of us. Thank you again for your incredible grace that all of us, weak people, you choose to use in your incredible plan to tell people about Jesus so that they can know you. They can know the forgiveness of their sins. They can know eternal life. Thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for the privilege of coming here.